Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for we can come together today to worship you, to praise you, to hear from you, to receive from you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we know that you are not far away. Lord, that you are just as close as us, as our breath in our mouth, Lord. Thank you that we can know, Lord, that you hear our prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can know that your Spirit is dwelling in us to bring us understanding and revelation and to satisfy all our needs. We just thank you and praise you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that as we go to your word, Lord, that you quicken our minds, Lord. You enable us to hear you, to receive from you, to be able, Lord, to take the things that you have prepared for us, so, Lord, that we may fully benefit, Lord, and everything that you have done may be fulfilled in our life. Thank you for everything you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I was, the last few days I've been feeling quite excited in myself, in my spirit, because I really sense that something new is happening. And, you know, God doesn't do things just like that. Okay, there is always, he works and has a plan and has, you know, some principle that need to be in place for him to work. When we line up with his principles, he, and you know, start to be active and manifest his power and his anointing. And I believe, Lord, that he is doing something, and we are going to see it developing the coming during this year. I believe that, you know, the blessings are here. Now, we can be confused by looking at the world, but we are not the world. This is a difference. We are his people. And because we are his people, the things that apply to the world, they don't apply to us. We have to understand our position. And we have to understand the way he works things. See, when we understand the way God works, then we can move according to his way and align ourselves up to bring about the things that he wants to, you know, manifest in our life. We have to understand that we have a part. God doesn't do anything himself. He has done everything that needed to be done already. When he sent Jesus, and Jesus accomplished what he has accomplished, and he said it is finished, he meant what he said. And if we look at the wrong place, at the wrong thing, what we end up doing is coming to the wrong conclusions. And we have to learn to look at the right thing to be able to understand what God is doing. Because as I explained last Sunday, okay, God's way of doing is not just physical. Beyond the physical appearance, there is much more going on that our eyes cannot see, that our senses cannot see. And we have to understand that difference. We have to understand. And we, you know, to be able to make that difference, to be able to have that kind of discernment is not always easy for people that come to the Lord. Because those are senses, our spiritual senses need to be developed, need to be trained. And our physical senses are so much stronger than our spiritual senses. Okay. But they can be developed. You know, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 says, you know, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who are by reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, today there is a big confusion about what is good and what is evil. They say what is good is bad and what is evil is good in the world. Unfortunately, even some believers are starting to get confused in that. Because you have to be careful the things you are exposed to and the ideas that we assimilate from the environment we are in. We have to understand the difference, and we have to get our senses exercised. See, our experience makes the difference to be able to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is God and what is not God. Many people blame God for stuff today, including ministers, for stuff that God has nothing to do with it, and it's all the work of the devil. Okay. And that's really a serious mistake, because that brings lots of consequences for the people that are following them. This is why we have to open our eyes and be careful to what we look. Be careful how we position ourselves. Because the way we position ourselves is determined by the way we see spiritually, not just physically. We have to make that distinction, because often people that, you know, are really messed up, they appear to be very successful in the world. And they are really successful, not because God made them successful, but the enemy did. And we can be confused by that if we only look at the physical things. We have to make that distinction, okay? We have to make that discernment of good and evil that can be only achieved through one thing: when our spiritual eyes are open so that we can see the spiritual things that are taking place and we can discern where they are coming from. Are you following what I'm saying? This is so important. We are going to expand more on that. And recently I've been trying to show some of these things, because really there is a lot of misunderstanding even in the church, and I'm not saying here, in general, for what is accepted and the things that are believed and the doctrines that are accepted and popular today. Praise the Lord. We have to look at the spiritual dimension of the kingdom of God. This is what has to be the area. That's what has to be the thing we focus on to determine what is good and what is bad. What is the things we have to focus on, the things we have to depend on, and the things we should not, because they're going to be damaging us. Okay. You know, the basic thing is that we have to learn to look to Jesus. You see, Hebrews 12:3 says very clearly, 2 says very clearly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. So he wasn't just looking at the physical. The joy that was in him was because he saw spiritually things that nobody else saw. Everybody thought it was a big defeat. That was the greatest victory that anybody ever got in this world. And he did it for us. He despised the shame that he went through. But, you know, now he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and as I rest on the throne of God. And he has a name above every name that is named. He has the power. He has the greatest victory over everyone. We have to understand that. And our position should be determined by his position, not by worldly things. We have to understand that. Okay, our blessings don't come because of physical things. It comes from our position and our understanding about spiritual things. Praise the Lord. Okay, it comes by revelation and our relationship with God. because you know, really understanding is shouldn't be too difficult. But our connection with God is critical, because He's the one we can save ourselves, bottom line. He's the one that saves us. And our relationship with Him determines the degree of our salvation, the amount of actually what God can do in our life. Praise the Lord. See, John 10:10 gives the basis, but it looks like, you know, although it's a basic thing, a simple, even a child knows, you know, when people apply that, they end up getting messed up and confused. Okay, the thieves come but to steal and kill and destroy. Okay, and you know, I come, Jesus said, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, He's talking about from a spiritual point of view and the physical point of view. Many believers today have lots of problems that they can't fix, can't solve, and they wonder why. Hosea 4:6 says very clearly, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." See, we need to have understanding of the word, not according to what people say about. We have to understand the truth in the word, not what people believe, not even what people preach. Because very often what they preach is man's ideas. And really Jesus explained that very well and prepared us that for us so that we can understand. We can understand how we can discern. See, thing is, okay, what happens if we do not understand these things? We end up fighting the wrong battle, wasting energy in things that are not productive. We need to understand that. We need to understand what Jesus has achieved. We can see that in Colossians chapter 2. This is something that has to be very clear in our mind and help us to discern things. He says, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses." Hallelujah. He has made alive. That means this is something that is finished, is done. You are alive. Your position is not that of the world. You are alive in Him. Okay. It's past tense. It's something that has to be very clear in your mind. It's something that will determine your position today in the world. But if you don't have clear that understanding, the fact that this is fait accompli, is something that happened and took place already, and it should have some result. Says, you know, goes on verse 14, okay, says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way and has nailed it to the cross." So, you know, that's is like the indication, the proclamation, the fact that He is nailed to the cross, that these things is out of the way, that the requirement, the unwritten requirement of the law are no longer valid. There is a complete new relationship now taking place between us and God. And we had to come into the understanding of the difference between Old Testament, Old Covenant, and New Covenant. If you don't understand that difference, our theology is going to be completely messed up. We are going to be tossed around by the enemy in ways that should not happen. Okay. We are going to be completely confused. Okay. What He did on the cross satisfied all our requirements. We have to appropriate that. We have to believe that. Okay, and goes on, say, you know, how did he do that? Having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them on it, over them on it. So it was a complete victory. You see, that was, you know, that is a symbol of what was happening when there was a battle, and the battle was finished, it was overcome, and the people, the general, the wind, was bringing up the slave and the people that were, you know, defeated in procession in front of everybody, so that everybody would know it. We should know it because we have the benefit from what the victory. We had to start proclaiming and receiving those benefits are available for us. Okay. The battle is completely as complete victory. If we are born again, okay, believer, okay, should not there be fighting the devil. And absolutely should be in a position of victory with respect to him in Jesus' name. Because he won the victory. We don't fight ourselves. There is confusion on this area that is affecting lots of people. They think we had to overcome the enemy. The enemy is defeated and is under Jesus' feet. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. And we are his body, Jesus' body, so he's under our feet too. That means he has no power over you if you are a born-again believer. It's not so if you are not a born-again believer. See, our position with respect to the enemy, the thief that comes to kill and steal and destroy, is different from the people in the world. And we have to understand that the victory that comes, you know, is only the result of the experiencing for us of the victory is the result of us understanding our position so that we cannot be deceived, because the way it works is by deception. He put up a show. We fall into the show. He put up, you know, all things, and he's pretty good about doing that because he's a deceiver. And if we fall for the trick, that he, or the doubt, or the question that he put in our mind, then we cannot exercise the authority that we actually have. See, our fight is not a fight of, you know, coming against a power that is greater than us. Oh, he's greater than us, yes. But not as we come in Jesus' name. Jesus has overcome all of them. And we, when we are born again believer, we are not ourselves in our own power, in our own strength. We are in Christ. That means that in Christ, we are manifesting his authority and his power. He has delegated that to us. And we have to understand that our position is coming from his position, from his victory. We start the battle from a position of victory. We have to understand how to do that, okay? But we have to understand, okay, that, you know, everything for us has been prepared and is there for us to avail, to use. But we have to have that understanding. We have to. And maybe much of the church today doesn't. The early church did understand. In fact, the difference between the early church and today is what? the result. They were able to spread in almost no time throughout the whole area that they were in contact with. Okay. And essentially, you know, grow enormously. That's not what the modern church experienced. Okay. You know, what Jesus said himself, that the church that he was building, okay, Matthew 16:18, he also said to you that you are Peter, and on this rock, which was the revelation of who he was and the conquer, that the victory that he's going to have, okay, I will build my church, and the gates of AIDS or hell shall not prevail against it. So this is a prevailing church of overcoming the forces of the enemy. That means, you know, the enemy can't do anything against what God can do, has done already, because of Jesus, what he has done. Okay. And, you know, it doesn't stop there. Okay, he talks, and he also says, just the following verses, 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loose in heaven. That is indication of authority, of power. Doesn't say that we are there trying to overcome. It's there, we have the key. If you had the key, you can get into the door without any problem. You are not there fighting and having struggle and trying to, you know, do things to be able to get in. You, door, you can open doors just as turning on a key. But you have to understand your position. If you don't know and you believe the lies that the enemy spreads, then, you know, you are going to be not be able to do, because the way you think, what you believe, is the critical factor in your success or your defeat. That is the connection that you have with the Word. And the Word is where the power is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whatever you lose on earth will be lost on heaven. And whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I'm not going to go through the whole Greek things there, because there's much more to say. But essentially what it says, everything that we say then lines up with the Word of God, with what God says, is going to be backed up by God himself. Heaven. That means our authority is Jesus. It's Jesus' authority. That's what he said too. That means that whatever we say should produce results. Results that change things, even in the physical. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think often today believers are fighting the wrong battle. Okay? They don't understand that the enemy is under our feet. Okay? Satan, you know, has been keeping believers engaged in a war that is advertised with fake information. Okay? He's a deceiver. The way he works is by deception. That means, you know, many believers are not enough. They don't know enough the Word of God. And when I talk about the Word of God, they may know Scripture, some Scripture, but it's not just knowing Scripture. It's to know what the Scripture means. It's understanding what they say. And Jesus was very clear about that. We're going to see just in a minute. Okay. But he, you know, slowly has infiltrated the doctrines in the church. okay, with compromise, worldly ideas, private interpretation, they multiplied lots of doctrines and ideas that are of man and not of God. And the result of that is that the word of God is made of no effect. There is no power in what the church does when it's based on this kind of doctrines. Okay. In the world, they are in the rule of Satan. So he has power over them because they are the one that submitted to them. The only power that he has is the power we give him. That was when Adam sinned, when Adam capitulated, and Adam believed him, the lie that he was giving, instead of believing what God said. Well, you know, it's exactly the same today. He will have as much power in you as you believe his lies and accept him instead of believing what the word of God says, that says he is defeated. He's a defeated foe and he has been overcome by Jesus, and Jesus made a show of him completely, publicly, so that we should know. He provided all the information that we need. Okay. But, you know, he can put a big show because he has an effect on the whole world around us. All non-believers are subjected to him, so he can do whatever he wants. Because they are capitulated, they are, you know, they're still under his bondage. Okay. And also we have to be careful because the show that you put up affects us. When we start seeing wars, war, problems, you know, confusion, everything around us today, and we keep looking at that, you think it's not going to have any effect on you? If you keep listening to the news, it's not going to have an effect on you. If you keep looking at all the situations that are there, that actually are not even close to you. But that's exactly what he works in. That's what the media produce. That's what you get on the internet. See, all this diffusion of information that is not relevant to you. So why am I in the world? Yes, you are. But you are not of the world. And he's going to look after you. And he's going to guide you into victory. And he's going to give you power to overcome when the enemy tries to come and try to sell you stuff. But if you buy his information, if you accept his information, if you allow him to say, did God really say that, you know, so somebody can have marriage of the same sex? You know, can you read? That's my answer. It's all over the place. We have to understand that the way it's going to come is by allowing doubt and unbelief come to us about the word of God. He's going to come, I am so powerful, look the way I'm doing all the world, and getting preachers to preach about what God is doing when instead it's the devil doing. So you're more confused than even when you started. John 10:10 tells the story. You don't need to go anywhere else. And you have to recognize and understand the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. If you don't have clear that, and I've been teaching on that on Thursdays and here on Sunday to some degree too. Okay. If you don't understand that, you're going to be completely confused. And you don't know where you stand. And you are going to have no power to stand against the enemy because the operation is very different. There were no born-again believers at that time. There was no new covenant established. And the new covenant is a better covenant with better promises. But if you don't appropriate then you may as well, you know, been born 2,000, before 2,000 years from now. Because that's where you are spiritually. Are you following me? We need to understand where we stand. We will understand the position we have. We have to really, okay, have discernment of who is doing what God is doing and what the devil is doing today. And you don't look at the enemy because it doesn't help you, because that's the way he's trying to do to impress on you, to make you scared. See, scare, you know, fear is the weapons that you use to confuse you so that you are not going to be able to make the right decisions. You have to know where you stand and put your foot down and says, I'm not going to be moved. I have the victory because Jesus has the victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, recently we have been focusing on many of the aspects of the victory that Jesus conquered. As you start reviewing the things that we've been teaching, both on Thursday and, unfortunately, if you weren't there on Thursday, we missed quite a bit. But, the things that, we have today according to the new covenant, the position we have today, according to the new covenant. You can start there from, when I started, I can't remember the date exactly on the website, but, when I started talking about Jesus' last teaching in the Gospel of John from chapter 14 to chapter 17, and then goes on. See, this is really the thing he was preparing. All the Gospel was a preparation for the New Testament church. But wasn't yet New Testament preaching. From the last teaching, he opened up a completely new book, completely new set of rules. And we had to start from there. And soon after, when he was resurrected, because that's the time when just shows us things that weren't so before. Praise the Lord. He told us very clearly, this is really what's going to produce victory in us, what is going to manifest the church that Jesus was talking about, because before there was not that church. The church is the one that came after Pentecost. Okay. And he said very clearly, Matthew 28:18, okay, all authority is given unto me. Okay, all authority. That means, how much authority has the enemy? Zero. He has no authority. And he's at the whole taken himself. And this is the position that we have to understand. Okay, because then it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything, all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Doesn't say after the first beginning of the church, things are going to change, all the gifts are going to be gone, and all the operation of the Holy Spirit and all the supernatural is going to disappear. That's not what it says. It says, I'm going to be with you till the end. Now, if you can see the period of time, certainly his presence there was decreased for many years. So the fact that now there is a new understanding about these things and a new revelation and a new manifestation should tell us something, should be an indication that there is a reason for these changes. And we all know the reason. It's coming back soon. And it's coming for a church with a spot and wrinkle. There's a lot of work to do. And we have to start with ourselves. We have to open up to the Spirit of God. Okay. The thing is, you know, he's going to be, he's promised. And in another place, in Matthew 4:24, 49, says, "Behold, I send you the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry in Jerusalem until you were endued with power from high." So the thing is, you know, he's promising specific things have been prophesied for a long time. But wasn't manifested, it was just a promise. Now that promise is being fulfilled. Okay. See, Acts chapter 1, verse 5, you know, "I'm baptized with water, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit and power for many days since." And that happened already. So this is finished, and is that we don't have to wait anymore. We have it. We have the Holy Spirit. It was given to us. This is our position. Hallelujah. This happened in Pentecost. And so, you know, the thing is we have received power as the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Okay? And if you have not received the Holy Spirit in terms of being filled with the Holy Spirit, get it. Because you need it today. If you don't have it, you need it. Because it's going to make a difference. It made a difference at the beginning. It turned a lot of chicken into roosters. Okay? People, they were able to fight and overcome the battles, you know, on the victory side. Praise the Lord. And this, you know, the thing is, what we should expect is exactly, you know, what happened afterwards that. Okay. Says, you know, in Mark 16:20 says, "And they went out, preached everywhere." And that's it? No. "The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." So this is the thing that was the characteristics of the early church. It wasn't just preaching. It wasn't just theory. It wasn't just theology. It was results. It was signs. The signs, you know, we were given before the chapter there. You know, the signs shall follow them. They believe. They shall cast out demons. They shall, you know, and so on and so forth. So I'm not going to take too much time on that. And really, you know, Jesus himself in chapter 14, which is the beginning of the chapters that I was mentioning before, says, you know, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater work than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name," that means you cannot ask, you know, in his name to go and rob a bank. Okay. Everything that you ask in his name is because he says it through you. When you speak the word, and it's the word of God, is God speaking the word through you? It's not you. You are just the channel. God is speaking through you because he allows you to speak it, because you are lined up with him. Now, if you are not lined up with him and you're going to after your own thing, forget it. Doesn't work. But if you are born again, your intention, your desire, your motives should be that of God's as well. Hallelujah. See, in John chapter 8, Jesus said something very important for us to understand. That we have to that we need to understand, okay, to be able to release the power in the word, we need faith. Faith is the basis. Faith comes from believing God and being our thinking and believing in align with God's word. And this is why in John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, I'm going to go to 32, 31, okay. Then Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him, okay, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. So that's really the key thing. It's not just believe in the word. He says, believe my word. See, it's not just any interpretation or any meaning that you want to give to things. It's the one that he intended. You are my disciples, and you are believing my word, you are going to be my disciples. He doesn't say you believe when somebody says something, you know, that you heard and you follow them, you are going to be their disciples, not Jesus' disciples. The important thing, you have to be Jesus' disciples. That's what makes the difference. That's what connects you with the power. Okay. And then goes on to say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, the truth is not just one scripture that fits to your theology and your theories, or anybody's theory. Okay, is the whole counsel of God. This is why the whole counsel of God has to be preached to be able to see the manifestation of God's power. If you just talk one part because you're comfortable with that, and you don't talk about the other ones, well, you are in a problem. You are under a curse. The word says very clearly, if you take anything on or put anything in, you're cursed. Are you following me? We have to make sure that we are fully understanding, receiving the word of God, and that understanding, that receiving, will determine our position, and our position is going to be manifested by the fact that the works that I do, you shall do also, and even greater work than this. See, Jesus used the miracles and the works that he did as a validation of his ministry. No matter what anybody says. He says, if you don't believe my word, believe the works that I do. Hello? If he did that, shouldn't we do the same? I mean, otherwise we are going our own ideas, our own things. And that's the problem. This is where the power is lost. Hallelujah. So, you know, really the word here is where we get the truth. The truth is what does power. The power is what sets us free. The power is what brings results. Hallelujah. I didn't hear any hallelujah about that. You know, I mean, it's available to everybody. It's not just for some special people. You know, you have to go into, you know, apply yourself. Say, well, you know, I mean, there are lots of things I don't know. What are you doing about that? But that's the key. I mean, if you don't know, better do something. The thing is, you know, God understands and he's there. He's going to help you to fill in all the gaps that you have. When you get it off a tangent, you're going to see that, first of all, nobody knows everything. We are not God. Okay. So the only people that God can use are people that don't know everything. Because only Jesus knew everything. Okay. But we can get closer and closer to him. And this is the intention and the plan that God has for each one of us. And according to the degree that we have worked toward us, toward that, that means, you know, how you do that? Well, you immerse yourself in the Word. You have to immerse yourself. Be receiving in the Word. That means the book. Not what people say about the book. because you don't want to have some digested stuff already. You had to go and eat yourself. Not yourself. You yourself have to eat. Amen? Are you following me? Praise the Lord. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You're going to start manifesting as a disciple, as the early disciples, as you get into that. You know, in Psalm 107, Psalm 107, verse 20, says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You see, that's the way He set us free. You know, they say, you know, shall know the word and the word shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is the truth. The power is in the truth. The power is in the word. The word has the truth inside, so the word has the power. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's available to everybody. I mean, you know, in those days it was difficult to have a book. Now you can buy a Bible for almost nothing. But it doesn't matter if you buy it or not. Are you in it? Are you reading it? Are you allowing the word to change and to modify the way you think? Or are you just listening to people telling things and, you know, believing them without even questioning them? Praise the Lord. See, Jesus said in John 6:33, you know, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh profit nothing. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay, that means, you know, that they have the power, the spiritual power, the ability for us to distinguish, to separate what is good and what is bad, what is true and what is false. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And says, you know, just after he finished that, okay, he said, but there are some that do not believe. See, we can get the word. Are we believing what the word says? Are we believing the things that we are reading? Or we say, well, that's too difficult, that's impossible, that doesn't work anymore. Well, that doesn't work anymore is a lie to start with. Praise the Lord. We have to develop our spiritual ear, so that we can hear, okay? Our attitude is what makes the difference for us to be able to hear. And we have to have a open heart when we read the word as God speaking to us. You know, some theologians say, you know, well, the Bible is not the word of God. I shouldn't be called that way. God is speaking to you through that. He doesn't use theological book. He used the Bible to communicate to us. He doesn't go according to the thinking, or the logical thinking of people, because our logical thinking is always limited. It's going to be confusing you. It's the word that is alive and powerful. Okay, that's what. The word is alive. That means, you know, he's going to work in you according to the moment that you need, because the Holy Spirit is going to quicken it to you. Praise the Lord. Okay. He's living and powerful, but actually he's alive inside you. Powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, that means, you know, piercing and dividing the soul and the spirit. That's the only way we can recognize the difference. It's not by what people say. It's by the word pointing it out, bringing it, revealing it to us by the Holy Spirit. Okay. And it's the discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. See, the division between soul and spirit is critical. Unless we learn to do that. You know, in Hebrew, you know, you can see, for example, some part of the Bible talks about eating the book or eating the scroll or whatever. You know, and the word eating is really the implication that is a Jewish way to express something, you know, that's the way we have to assimilate, to receive understanding and knowledge. Now, you know, if you eat something and just throw the enamel in your throat without really spending the time to taste it, you don't even know the taste. And possibly you get indigestion. Or it doesn't do anything to you. Okay? You can even digest it. The same thing is with the word. Unless you take the time to taste it, that means you are slowly enough, to be able to actually taste it, to know the impact that has on you, to see what produces inside you as you read it. That means you take the time, you slow down, you allow it to work in you, and you see the way it feels. Evidently, it's not the taste I'm talking about here. Okay. The way it feels inside you. The way if you feel inside, you know, there is a dissonance, conflict, or yes, or it is embracement or understanding. See, that's the thing that is going to produce the difference. So that's the thing that's going to produce the difference. Are you following me? You had to take the time to let it work so that you, otherwise, is not powerful and living and powerful. There is no life in it. You just got in one ear and got out the other. Or one eye and got out the other eye. It's gone. It's finished. Doesn't have anything. Unless you take the time with my word abide in you. You abide in me. Your word abide in you. See, abiding means you are staying there. You had to slow down. You had to let it work and see what it does. Does it feel, make you feel good? And some of it will. Does it make you feel bad? And some of it will. Does it feel, make you feel confused? Someone will too. So what you had to do? Well, you had to let it work and allow that work and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to receive those things. When it feels good, just take it. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. That sounds pretty good to me. Amen? But when it says some other things that are a bit harder to take, well, you have to take those too and allow that to work in you. And if you don't find a solution, you ask the Holy Spirit. Or maybe ask somebody else too to see if they can help you. But you be careful what they tell you. See, Jesus talked so much about, you know, in those terms, you know, he's talking about, I am the bread of life. You know, who you eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, just turn off the Jews terribly about something like that. And he knew it. He was trying to go do what? Produce a reaction. He did that all the time. He wanted people to react and not to be there listening and things going one ear and out of the other. He wanted people to think about what he was saying and see how they would relate to that and how would that impact their life. Are you following me? See, when we do that, then we start doing what? We start allowing the word to have an effect on us. And as we believe that that is the word of God, that that is God speaking to us, and as we yield to what we are getting, He's going to produce changes in you. Okay. That's the beginning of meditation. Are you following what I'm saying? OK? Okay, that's what we had to do all the time. Don't read the Bible quickly. I mean, you know, read three chapters a day, make sure, and you know, you got nothing. If you read three verses a day and you get something out, you got much more. And what you want is result, not just checking the number on your calendar. Okay? Praise the Lord. Well, I think we use all the time. My suggestion to you is this. I'm going to go back on the scripture that is so important. Okay? John 6:63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Okay. And this is the thing we had to do. Allow the word to speak to us, to affect our spirit, to affect our life, produce life in us. But you know, if you are born again and you have the life of God in you, that's in your spirit, and you don't let it come through, nothing happens. What you have to do is to connect it to your mind. This is where the word comes into the picture. You go to the word, you listen to the word, you allow it to work in you, and it will bring out from you, the way I said before, discern the thought and intent of the heart. Is this lining up with God's intent and heart or not? Is telling you something that needs to be changed in your thinking and the position of your heart so that you can take God's position. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe that this year we are going to see more of that taking place. We are going to see more of people coming into the realization of what they have in Christ. Of how to actually manifest in the physical the things that they already have in their spirit as born-again believers. Amen? So let's pray together for God to help us, okay, to participate in this process that He wants to implement in our lives. If you want personal prayer, I can do it after we pray this together. Let's pray for everybody together right now. Thank you, Father, for what you made possible for us to have. All the power that Jesus had, all the works that he did, the understanding that he had, the transformation taking place in us to line up ourselves with you and to be used by you to establish your kingdom down here. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for your plan. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus that shows us the way. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is with us all the times. For, Lord, thank you that we can dwell in it and have the truth and manifest the truth in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.